Dieu, quand tu te calmes, c'est soir. Yeah. Do you want to talk first? Do you want to talk?
Okay, thank you. Bless the Lord. Yesterday, I decided to go out. I felt led by the Spirit of God to go out to Stratford. So I thought to myself, right, I'm going to target the homeless people. You know, that's what I thought. Not in a bad way. And I saw this fella sat on a bench. So he sat on his bench, and I just went over to him and I said to him, did you hear about the miracle that happened last week with the man, the homeless man with a knee? And he said, yeah, I heard about it. I said, praise God. And then he said he's got something wrong with both his knees, and he had crutches. So I said to him, you know, Jesus can heal you. Can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, go ahead. So I prayed for both his knees. And then when I finished praying, he checked himself. And he said, it feels a lot better. And then I said, I want to pray some more. So I prayed again. And then he said to me, I want to take my crutches off. So I said, go ahead. So he took the crutches off, put them on the bench, and then began to walk. And then he said he was just praising God. And he said, I've never done this before. I'm not, you know. And I just thanked the Lord. And, you know, let's just go out boldly and trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Thank you.
Yeah, on Sunday we went out to Shepherd's Bush Mall. And we were just praying for people and saw a lot of miracles. So
yeah, praise God, actually. It's just wonderful to see him working in a very, very secular, very kind of like materialistic place where God is far, far from people's minds, and suddenly he turns up. It's just amazing. And, you know, we just, I felt led to pray for this woman who was pregnant, but she didn't speak any English, but she said she'd wait for her husband to come back. And like, her husband was very open. They were a Muslim family. And basically, we started sharing and everything, and we said, well, can we pray for you and everything? And then as soon as he said, yeah, I'd like to be prayed for, suddenly he got whisked away by this other guy. And just incredible. I thought that the devil is really off. You know, this family, God has got something really special, because the devil was really active. And basically, they got whisked away because he went to speak to a fortune teller that happened to be there. Anyway, we were praying in tongues, and, you know, asking God, Lord, you know, just have the last laugh. Have the last laugh here, God, because, you know. And then finally, they came back. And, you know, and it was just like amazing, because we were asking for some sort of picture or something, you know, and I just got this picture of two eggs. One egg was really rotten, and when you cracked it open, it just was disgusting. And then the other one was really lovely egg, a whole wholesome egg. And then when they came back, we spoke to them a bit more. And and finally, Josh came over, and we prayed for this guy, and he got healed of, I think it was arthritis, was it? Rheumatoid arthritis. For 39 years he'd had it, and praise the Lord, he just got instantly healed. And then I just shared about these two eggs, and I said, I reckon that the rotten egg is representative of this fortune teller that you've just been to see, and the good egg is Jesus, is the one that you just received healing from, you know. And like and he said, I can't believe I spent all this money on this woman, and like, you know, and we get it for free, this amazing healing. So they were just like, you know, I mean, she they were just so open then, you know, and of course the gospel was shared with them and everything else, and that was just one story. Can I go on a little bit? Is that okay? And then just there's so many other things that were happening, but one thing I testify for myself, which was remarkable, is Josh said, I see you limp, you know. Is there anything we can pray for? So I said, well, yeah, why not, you know, because I had an accident in 2006. I broke my back, which means that since then I've been limping. And, you know, so we thought, right, we're going to find a bench. So we tried to find a bench outside and stuck my foot out. And I didn't realize, I'd never thought about this, but I actually had one leg shorter than the other. And we stuck my feet out like this, you know, and Josh said, who wants to pray? And Irene said, yes, I want to pray. So she just said, grow in Jesus' name. And my foot just grew like in front of our very eyes. And like, it was fantastic, so I'm not limping anymore. I still need some healing, so I'm continuing to pray for that, but I'm not limping anymore, praise God. And then, like, there was a crowd. There was a crowd around us, and just so many people just like, what on earth is happening here, you know? And like, oh, it's fantastic, because then other people got healed. This guy, Albanian guy, got healed of asthma straight away. And this other woman, her leg grew as well. And just like, praise God, it's just amazing.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's awesome. Catherine's amazing. She's really bold and it's awesome. This week I was on the tube. Like, my brother just came from New Zealand. Hallelujah. Praise him. He's an awesome guy. And we were on the tube going to Nando's, and we were just coming up to Shepherd's Bush, and there's these two, like, I don't know, the Muslim kind of guys or whatever, like, on the tube. And like, my brother just got a brand new camera, and so I was like, man, I want to make some videos. And so anyway, they were talking, and I went up to them. I was like, guys, do you guys believe in miracles? And they were like, yeah. And I said, can I pray for you? Have you got any pain in your body or anything like that? And they're like, one guy had like he broke his finger, and his finger was like crooked. And so I was like, God can make your finger straight, you know. And I was like, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah. And I prayed for him. And I was just holding his finger, and he felt like, I said, do you feel anything? And he said, I feel like tingling on my fingers. And I said, that's God. And I keep praying, and I said, bend your finger. And he started bending it. And then he held it out, and it was like, his friend was like, your finger's straight, bro. I was like, hallelujah. So God straightened his finger out. He was so happy. And what else happened? Oh, yeah. And yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing, isn't it? I just quickly tell one quick more. Yeah. I work as a teaching assistant at a high school, and on Thursday, I think it was, now Wednesday, I prayed for one of the ladies there. She had nerve problems in her back, and one of her foot was swollen, and so I got asked if I can pray for her, and she's an amazing lady, and so I prayed for her, and she doesn't know anything about God or the Bible or anything like that, and I prayed for her twice, and the next day she came to me, she's like, Josh, like, it's all better, you know, and it was awesome. And then another lady I prayed for, she got healed. And they both were talking to me at lunchtime about mediums and stuff like that. And because they've been to mediums and they wanted to go and hear a message or something. I was telling them, like, don't do that, you know, it's wrong. And anyway, we went outside with the kids to play in the playground. And I was still talking about God and stuff. And I said to them, has anyone got pain in their lower backs or anything? And one of them did. And so I asked them, sit down, and I said, you know, held their legs out, and their leg was short, and so I prayed, and God grew a leg out, and I was like, and then the other one came up, and she sat down as well, and she had a short leg, and God grew her leg out as well, and it was amazing, man. I was like, is God real now, you know? And that's just so mind, like, blowing, like, it's so much, you know, for people to comprehend, and God's just doing amazing things, so be encouraged, guys.
Thank you, Jesus. That's so good. You know, we just want to take the church outside the walls of this building, because if we stay in here, they're never going to know. And we got to take the church to where the people are so they can encounter this Jesus that heals all their diseases. And Mark says in Mark 16, he says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, that's exactly what we should be doing. We have power when the Spirit comes on us to be His witnesses. A healing is a brilliant opportunity to talk about the power of Jesus to set people free. So I want to encourage you guys, if you want to go out with these guys, speak to Joshua, speak to Kenrick, speak to Catherine, and get in one of the groups and just go out and get released into the power of God. We, Dot and I, were at the Leaders Conference at Kingdom Faith Horsham this week. It was a brilliant time, absolutely brilliant. We had a guy called Ashley Schmierer, who's an Australian, who is the most Australian Australian I've ever met in my entire life. He's like not sophisticated. He is totally out the bush almost. But he's been here 19 years, and he is so amazing. He just shot every holy cow all the week as the 3 days unfolded. And it was just brilliant what God did in us. And, you know, what was so brilliant was to share with Pastor Colin and Clive what we're doing. Dot and I had time with them on our own. And we talked about what God's doing here. And they're so affirming what's going on here. And they said, we want you to be different. We want you to be what God's got you to do. You're not a franchise of Kingdom Faith. You are a people of God that carry our DNA. And so you do what you're doing. We support it wholeheartedly. And our relationship is so good and so strong. And we are so free to do what God's got for us to do. And that is absolutely brilliant. So, we are blessed to have Simon Breaker with us this morning, this evening. Simon is an old friend of mine, but he's also a friend of this church. Simon's been coming here since we started Kingdom Faith London. And he's a prophet, amongst many other things. And he releases from God into us so many important things. You know, Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave the gift, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, to build us up so we will all be solid, not tossed about by every new wave of teaching. We need the prophetic anointing to come into us. And this is why we invited Simon. Let's welcome Simon Breaker.
Is there somewhere to put this? Sorry. Well, praise God. It's good to be here. Why don't you stand up? Just stand up. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I've got some of that. It's okay. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We give you glory. We just honor you. So who'd like a prophetic word? Right, turn to the person next to you and give them one then. Well, go on then. Come on. I'm not joking, I'm being serious. Turn to the person next to you and give them a word. It's not my job, it's yours. Hear God and speak. If you've got no idea what God's saying, say what you think he might be saying. Okay, stop. Right, stop. I want you to get into groups of three. Okay? You didn't come just to listen to me tonight, did you? Yeah. Right, get into groups of three. When we prophesy, listen, when we prophesy, we don't use our brain. You don't think, let me think of some kind of prophetic word I can give this person. But you don't need when a person gets into a position where they're uncomfortable, have you noticed they pray in tongues more fervently? It's like, whatever the size of the need is, this person's in a wheelchair, we better pray in tongues strong, because this is a hard one for God. Now, what it actually is it's like, I'm feeling slightly insecure right now. So in Leicester, we started a prophetic school, and I may do it tonight, we'll see. But one of the things that I've taken to doing is, in the middle of the meeting while I'm teaching, I'll just stop and say, you, prophesy to her. And they go, no, you were too long, sit down, you do it. And what's happened is we started there, and what's happened is people have clicked out of, I need to think of something to say, because God already knows what he wants to say, and all we need to be is available for him to speak. And most of the time, the first thing you think you should say is actually God, but because we doubt our ability to hear him, we procrastinate and don't give it. But you see, the thing of it is, generally speaking, I mean, these guys who have been on the streets, no, you don't generally get the opportunity on the street to do this. And the Lord would say, you've got to be on the hoof, haven't you? Like going into, I went into a Tesco's garage. I was paying for my fuel in the Tesco's garage, and I looked to the guy behind the counter, and I just looked at him and said, there's a whole lot of the people behind me, so I had to be quick. I had to give like a concentrated prophetic word. I just said, you know, God's got a destiny on your life, and it's not for you to just serve behind the counter in Tesco's. And he goes, yeah. I says, you're a believer, aren't you? He goes, yeah. And this guy has a real big grin on his face. And the people in the line are going, what's going on in the line? But you see, if you've got this mentality of, I've got to think of something to say otherwise, boy, it ain't going to work, is it? So you've got to get to this. You've got to be like the Wild West. You've got to be, bam, have a word. I'm gone now. Because it's not you that's speaking, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? So many times the reason why we don't move straight away is because it's like, what do I say? I don't know what to say. God is saying, but what if it's not? What if it's not God saying it? Well, what if it is?
Yes.
What if it is? So I just say to our guys, just say this, God is saying. Then at least you've got a couple of words out your mouth. And what you find is when you start moving, the Holy Spirit moves with it. Because when you say God is saying, you're speaking in faith that God is saying something. So you've done your part, and that opens the channel up for God to speak. So this is what's going to happen. I'm going to say go, and there's going to be one person here, and you're going to prophesy. I'm going to say change, you're going to prophesy to the next person. So it's not, you're not going to have time to go, You see, God can speak through clothing. God can speak through, you know, it's like this. You're frilly around the edges and a bit kind of like this, but there's a substance of kingdom in you. So you've got purple on, and God just spoke to me through what you're wearing. That maybe it's like, but actually there's kingdom authority in your life. I want you to move that way. I want you to just pick up something in your spirit and just see stuff. Just allow the Lord to just highlight things to you. Can we do this quick? All right, you got to be quick, because I'm going to say change. If the person, right, listen. If the person, pick somebody in the group who's going to prophesy first. If they do not prophesy, poke them in the eye, and then we'll send them to him and they can get healed at the end. Please do not do that. Are you ready? Right, so you're going to be quick. Are you all in threes? Threes looks like one, two. It's amazing in the church, they get into threes and there's one person stood on their own. It's like, no, threes. If there's a four, that's okay. But this is the way. It's not two people prophesying over one person, because that tends to happen a lot. But it's one person prophesying over two. Okay, so you're going to prophet, and what you're going to do, I'm going to say change, and when you change, you're going to prophet, I want you to, because it's the same God, you don't need to think of something else to say to the other person, because God already knows what he wants to say.
Amen.
So therefore, what you can do is you can prophesy to one person, and bring a word to them, and then say change, and immediately change tack to somebody else.
Yes.
Because you can hear God like that. Just turn to the person that say, I hear God like that, actually. Now do it again. No, it's church. We're supposed to sit in rows and listen to somebody at the front. We're not supposed to do anything, are we? Jesus did not really mean equip the church. Equip? You mean I'm supposed to do? Yes, you are supposed to do something. And listen, you might not see this person again. So if you met, and they don't know whether what you say is right anyway. So you might say something totally stupid. They're not going to know. If we can't experiment inside the four walls, what are we going to do when we get out there? I went to somebody, up to somebody in Horsham, and I walked up to them and said, you've just come out of a broken relationship. And they looked at me and went, no, I haven't. I went, oh, never mind. I walked away. Share the failures as well. Would you like to hear about Jesus? No. All right. Somebody does. Yeah, you ready? So I'm going to say, go. You're going to say, Jesus, look happy about it. Some of you look like somebody's whacked you around the head with a wet fish. So, what, you mean I'm going to have to bless somebody? How much does God love the people in your group? How much does God want to pour into them? So he doesn't care what quality of pipe. You might be a bit wonky and dented, but just as long as you're available, he can pour through you. Amen? Smile. If you're not happy, just smile. One day you will be. Are you ready? Right, go. No, you took too long. Change. Come on, quick. Okay, change. Okay, stop. Right. I want the groups of three to make groups of six. Okay? So get into groups of six now, just for a minute. I don't want to preach until faith is high. So how many of you really enjoy being made uncomfortable? Right. I'm glad about that. Right. Group. It doesn't have to be exactly six. Doesn't have to be exact. What you'll need to do, though, is you'll need to make a circle, and I want one person to stand in the middle. The person in the middle is going to be doing the prophesying. Yeah, you see, you're thinking, I'm going in the middle, I'm going to get lots of words in the middle. So, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. The person in the middle is going to stand in the center. You listening? Right, the person in the center is going to stand in the middle, center and middle, too many middles, and I'm going to say, God is saying, bum, 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 and I'm going to say change, they're going to change to the next person, God is saying, bum, 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 God is saying, bum, 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 God is saying, bum, 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 and as soon as I, listen to me, it's very important, understand, this is a training exercise. It's highly probable that when you get to the first person you begin to prophesy, and I say change, that you've got more to say. Hold on to it and tell them later. Because the issue, what I'm trying to teach you to do here, is not just to say something to one person, but what I'm wanting to teach you to do is how to break out of one word straight into another one straight away. The exercise is being able to change from that person to that person straight away. Do you understand? So it's, God is saying, then immediately change to the next. Then immediately change to the next. If this is making you uncomfortable, I am very glad. Okay, are you ready? Right, I'm going to say change, so you better get it out quick. And as soon as I say change, immediately move to the next person. Have we got it? Just wave at me, you got it? Yeah? Okay, go. Okay, change. Okay, change. If you get around the circle, get somebody else in the middle. Okay, change. You're being disobedient. Okay, change. Okay, change. Come on, move quickly, move quickly. Okay, change. Just get somebody else in the middle if you run out. It's very quiet. Come on, keep going. Okay, change. Okay, change. Straight away. Okay, change. 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 Okay, change. Were you prophesying then, were you? Okay, change.
Change.
Yeah, change. Okay, one last time. Change. Okay, stop. Get somebody else in the center. And have somebody else stand next to them. Okay, so I want two people in the center. Right, listen. Listen, you need to listen. The first person's going to start the prophecy, and the second person's going to finish it, because it's God that's speaking. Okay? So two people, you just say, now just, just a little bit, just to help you a bit. If you actually, if you lay hands on somebody, when you put a hand on someone, what happens is you actually can pick up their spirit, and you can pick up God within them. So, I mean, if you want, you can stick your finger up their nose, but they'll probably find it difficult to receive from you if you do that. So, I'm a happy prophet. So, not a miserable one. So if you want, you know, put your hand on their shoulder and that'll just help you. So, the way it's going to work is the first person they're going to prophesy, and I'm going to say change, and the other one's going to finish the word. So what I'm doing is I'm just teaching you that it's not you making up the word, it's God speaking through you. So it's just breaking you out of the boxes that so often we can have, all right? I have got a word, but so have you. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you have heard God tonight?
Yep.
Well, that's good. There was no way I was going to prophesy over all of you, but you've all received the word, haven't you?
Amen.
So that's good, isn't it? That's what church is. It's about equipping. Right, so are you ready? So pick which one of you is going to be first. And you just start saying, God is saying, and then the other person finishes what you're saying when I say change. Are you ready? Okay, go. Okay, change. Okay, move on to the next person. Okay, change. Okay, change. Change. Okay, cool. Right, we'll stop there. How you doing? You're looking happy anyway. Just give yourself a clap and praise the Lord. Just go ahead and you can go ahead and find a seat. So often what we can do, we need to be very careful that we don't associate the vessel as the word. Do you understand what I mean by that? That actually, I mean, God can talk through a donkey. I mean, the Lord said to me one occasion, he says, I talked to you through a donkey when you're being an ass. Made me laugh. But the point is this, is that, you know, when we get into that kind of dynamic where the person next to you is prophesying, so often what we can do is internally we can turn off and go, well, that word's not going to be significant because they're just the person sat next to me. But you see, if we want to see the church grow in the way God wants the church to grow, we need to honor the anointings apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and all of those ministries. But we also need to honor the anointing and grace on each other. Because God's going to be able to do a lot more through a body of people who honor the graces on each of us' lives than he's going to do through just a couple of leaders. Amen. So we need to begin to get to that place where we expect, actually, Cindy Jacobs, Jane Hammond sat next to me right now. Do you understand what I mean by that? That there is a vessel of God next to me, and they're as much a vessel of God as anybody who stands at a pulpit is a vessel of God, and therefore I can hear God through them. But what we can do is say, yeah, thank you for that word, but I really want one from the guy up front. But it's the Lord who's the important one, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah? Who was the guy that was singing in the toilet? Yeah. Just stand up, because I got a word for you. And I stood here and I saw you walking in here with, you know, like pirate treasure chests, you know, those wooden chests. I saw you walking up, and I saw you walking in, and you were tipping them out, and there were dozens, well, thousands of gold coins in the chest. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what are they? And he said, they're souls.
Amen.
And he said, you're going to bring in chest loads of souls into the kingdom. Chest loads of souls into the kingdom. And then I heard the Lord say, begin to sing songs of where you want to be. Sing yourself into the place. And as you begin to pray, he's given you a psalmist grace. And you're going to begin to write songs, and the songs, people will sing them, and it will bring them into the miraculous. It's going to open up a door and bring them into the miraculous. And the thing that you've done in secret when nobody's listening is actually the source that's opening the doors. And it's transferable. You can actually equip other people to live in that realm so that they can access what you've began to access. Does that make sense? You understand me? So, Lord, I thank you. Do you play an instrument? Yeah, cool. The Lord's given you a psalmist grace. He's given you a grace that goes beyond just simply singing songs, but singing into the miraculous, into the realm of the miraculous. So I thank you. Just stretch your hands out to him. What's your name, mate? Josh. Father, I thank you for that grace on his life. I thank you for it.
Amen.
Chest loads of blessing. Chest loads of souls. That, Father, there'd just be so many, he won't have time to actually look at each one before he goes out and gets another. That you're going to take the treasures of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name. Just release it now, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now. Right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come, Lord. Just come. Just increase it. Just increase it. Do the unreasonable. In Jesus' name. Do the unreasonable. Do the outrageous. Do the unthinkable. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the grace to shake nations. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's good. Maybe you should call your first CD Singing in the Toilet. Well, Lord, we thank you for speaking. We thank you for releasing revelation. We thank you for opening our ears to hear what you want to say to us, in Jesus' name. I went for a walk when... I'm Simon, by the way. I'm a friend of Les and Dot, and I pastor a church. I lead a church in Leicester and lead a prophetic school. Got 950 children. Well, at least that's what it feels like, because they kind of move so fast we lose count how many of them there are. We're just enjoying what God's doing and how God's breaking things open. And it's an exciting time to be alive. It really is. And it really does feel like this year we have transitioned, haven't we? Yeah. We've transitioned. Is it really 20 past 12? That was a long time of prophecy right there, wasn't it? So, when I got to the building, I went out for a walk and visited the what my children call my international office, Starbucks. And my kids asked my wife, say, where's daddy? And she says, he's at the office. And they say, is he at his office at church or at his international office? So they make me laugh. But I went out for walk. You know this like grass area across the road there, the square circle thing over there somewhere, wherever it is. I went for a walk over there, and I it's a circle, isn't it? Yes. Have you seen it? And I walked around, and there's a sculpture on the wall of a giant Mary with a tiny Jesus. And I felt the Lord prophesy to me about what he's called this expression of church, what he's called you to do. And it kind of explains a little bit of the journey. And what he said to me was this, he said, I've called you to be a people who go against the trend. And I saw that, you know, you can, if you pull the plug out of a sink full of water and the water begins to go down, to get that whirlpool to go in the other direction, you have to go against the flow, don't you? And it's not just enough. If that water starts going down the drain, you put your hand in there and you do this once, that isn't going to be enough. It's going to have to be a consistent movement to change the direction of the flow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I felt like the Lord said this. That sculpture of Mary and Jesus is almost like symbolic of what London has seen of the church. It emphasizes what man can do, so it has huge organization and huge buildings, but a very small Jesus. And what the Lord has called you to do is to reverse the trend and to have a huge Jesus, because it's not the church that's going to take London, it's Jesus that's going to take London, amen? And where the emphasis needs to be is on Jesus. Not on church, not on structure. The womb, if you like, of Mary was simply the vessel that brought Jesus into the world. And the church, sometimes what we can do is we can exalt structure over presence. And what the Lord's saying is that he's called you to go against the trend and exalt presence over structure. So because of that, you're going to find that what you're doing is going to go against the flow, and there's going to be times it's going to be like, well, you don't do church that way. You don't do it like that. Well, you do. I said you do. And this is what God's called you to do. So don't be surprised when you get the water slapping in your face. I remember the Lord saying to me a while ago, he said, how does the salmon know, the fish salmon? He says, how does it know it's swimming in the right direction? I said, go on, Lord. It says, because it's being slapped in the face by the water. And the place in your life, generally, where the greatest resistance is probably where the greatest call is. Yeah? The place where you feel the most intimidated to go is probably the place where you should go. Amen? And we tend to be, when there's no vision, what we tend to do is we tend to actually take the track of least resistance, because it's comfortable, but it isn't necessarily fruitful. Hello? It doesn't bring about the change. And whether we're aware of it or not, the churchianity, I won't say Christianity, but church culture in this nation looks like this. the way many times people assess where they're going to plant themselves is not on the basis of what the voice of the Lord is saying. It's what does my backside say about the chair? What does my brain say about the building? What does the atmosphere feel like? Do I like the worship team? Since when has that been any basis on deciding? I mean, if Jesus had built his life in that way, he never would have gone to the cross in the first place. And we so often allow our judgments of what's comfortable to establish what we're going to do in life. And the reality of it is, the only way that you cause growth is by going against resistance. I do weight training. If you want to build muscle, you have to lift weights. You can't think about it and just stand there and look at them. You have to pick the jolly thing up. Although, interestingly, there was a study done recently where they got two groups of people. They got one group to think about, not think about weight training at all, and they got the other group of people to think about weight training, and they actually gained muscle mass by thinking about it. So, but you can't, your thought life needs to be translated into action, doesn't it? Amen? See, we like comfortable Christianity, whether we're prepared to admit it or not. And that isn't what's going to change the nation. If it was, it would have already happened, wouldn't it? Hello? Just smile at me. Or not. I'm still going to say what I'm going to say. So whether you like me or not, I'm going to bring it. That was a silent moment for effect. Let's carry on. Turn to anywhere. I'm going to Psalm 48. I have no idea when I'm supposed to be landing. Okay, that's cool. Right, so 2 o'clock. That's cool. I was waiting on the Lord and just saying, Lord, what do you want to say and to the church here? And I love being here because I feel like this congregation is an extension of our congregation, that we're almost one. And it's bizarre because I generally, if I don't talk to Les on a Tuesday, I feel like there's something I haven't done. Because generally we're always, one way or another, we'll communicate at some point in the week. And we'll talk about what we're sensing God is saying. And more often than not, I'm either coming into what Les is thinking about, or Les has come into what I'm thinking about. And it's like we're in step with one another, and we pray for you and trust God with you. So I just feel like I'm at home, and it's good to feel that way. And you know, when you're at home, you want to bring something good to the family, don't you? Yeah, I'm probably your strange uncle that you only bring out at Christmas. So if you're at Psalm 48, I'm going to take a verse of scripture totally out of context, but I'm allowed to do that because I'm a prophet, and prophets do that all the time in the Bible, so I'm going to do it just to show that I'm an authentic prophet. But it says here, I was just sitting reading, do you know what, I'm pretty convinced that you could sit down and read a Chinese menu, and if God wants to talk to you, he could get it to you. Do you know what I'm saying? He just knows how to communicate when he needs to, doesn't he? So praise the Lord. So Psalm 48 and verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. Stop. As we have heard, so we have seen. There's been a shift in the spirit realm. There's been a shift in prophetic expectation and the way that God is looking for the church to function. And we've done a lot of proclamation. And proclamation, I teach it, I believe it, I believe it's important. But I believe this year we stepped into something else. And rather than it being the prophesying of promises, God is moving us into the place where we're to be manifesting the promises, proving the promises. And I believe there's a lot of stuff that effectively what God is saying to you, there's a lot of stuff that you've heard about through prophetic word and prophetic input that's come to the church and even things that you've picked up personally within the leadership and that's been brought from the pulpit, but you're not in the season where you're going to hear about it. You're in the season where you're stepping over a threshold where you're going to begin to see the things that you've heard about. I'm glad you're encouraged about that. Oh, good. Obviously, what you've been hearing is rubbish. What have you had prophecies about being cut in half with swords? Is that why you look depressed? Does Pastor Les tell you God's going to come and zap you with lightning? Is that why you look upset? I mean, what I've been hearing the Lord saying is that there's increase and that there's breakthrough and that there's miracles and that there's revival and that there's presence, there's outbreaks of His glory, and that it's a time where He's going to pour out His Spirit on the streets. That's the stuff I've been hearing. That's the stuff I've been told about, that there's a generation that's rising up now. It's not going to rise up. It already is rising up. We're in the middle of it. And God is in a season where He is beginning to prove His word, as opposed to saying, I'm going to do it. He is doing it. He's breaking it out now, and He's going to break it out for you. Just give that a golf clap just for a minute. It's always good just to... Hooray. This is very good news. We're very pleased that God is going to do such a thing. And in England, this is the way we praise the Lord. There will be the Australian part of heaven, there will be the American part of heaven, the African part of heaven, and there will be the British praise and amen. And the British praise and amen will look like this. And it's said in the Bible, and there was a great multitude praising the Lord, and the British section nodded their heads with great zeal. And all of the angels said amen. Or could it possibly be that the Holy Spirit needs to possess our mouths and cause us to speak? Yes. Surely not. We're British. But God wants to break some stuff open that we need to say, yes, I agree with that. I'm going to have it. Because it's not what you think, but you need to access it by proclamation and begin to say, that's going to be mine. Or it is mine, and I'm possessing it, and I'm releasing it, I'm releasing declaration. It's an amazing thing that we can be in the place in the church that will say, well, of course, you know, proclamation's probably fairly important, but not that important. But then when we hear about 1,000 Muslims gathering together, declaring Islam, then all of a sudden it needs to be stopped. Hello? If you heard that there was going to be 90,000 Muslims gathering in the stadium and they were going to be declaring there's only one God and His name is Allah, you'd all want it to be stopped, wouldn't you? Why? Because we believe there's power there. So apply that same faith to your own proclamation and let's change the atmosphere in England. Amen. Amen. And every time the word kind of flutters over our heads, and it's there, and what we need to do is we need to latch onto it with our faith, and with the same spirit of faith, we hear and therefore nod and give it a golf clap. Hooray! Good shot, Lord. But there's this sense, there is a sense in which God is shifting us into it. Am I the only one that feels that way? There really is. And I've gone through this. Just turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I went through this bizarre, I'm probably still in the middle of it, this bizarre season where numbers appeared everywhere. It was just quite frankly freaky. It started with 22, 22. Have you just headbutted her? Thou shalt not beat the other members of the church during the sermon. Sure, it's in the Bible somewhere. And I was going around and 22-22 was appearing everywhere. And then from there, in 2010, I was seeing 10-10 everywhere. And then in 2011, I was seeing 11-11 everywhere. And they referred to Bible verses. It got to such a point that we went over to the U.S., when Isaiah 22:22 says that you, He shall have the keys, and what he opens, no one shall close, and what he closes, no one shall open. John 10:10 says, I've come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. Matthew 11:11 says, of those born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And we had these verses going on, and I got to America, and we arrived at the hotel, and we were in room 22. When we picked the car up from the garage, it was in booth 2222. When we went in the restaurant, we sat at table, guess what? 22. It was just everywhere. Everywhere. It was bizarre. And this year, the Lord said to me, I want you to read on in Matthew 11 to Matthew 11:12. And Matthew 11:12 says this, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I began to understand that the Lord had had me on a journey about how to get this thing to manifestation. How to move it. You know, it's great to know about the promises, isn't it? Isn't it? Aren't the promises of God great? Amen. But wouldn't it be great if we got past them being promises? Amen. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, if I promise I'm going to give you £1 million, don't hold your breath. Because what a promise is based on the person's ability to fulfill it, isn't it? And the thing of it is, when God gives a promise, it's given with the intent of it coming to manifestation. And so often what we can do is we can get to the place that we practice the, if you like, the memorizing and the learning of promises to make ourselves feel better, but have no expectation that those promises should actually come to manifestation so that something actually changes. Hello? I remember in Ukraine, I was ministering loads of people. And you need to go to Ukraine. You'll love it. It's just great. Just pray for hundreds of people. Fantastic. And you just kind of go along. It's like your arms just... You kind of have a drink while you're doing it. It's great. But we're going along, and I came to this lady, and she got breast cancer. And I looked at her, and I said to her, do you believe that God's going to heal you? And she said, no, which is always not helpful. It's good for there to be some faith. So I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that God gives you faith. And she goes, good. And I said, Lord, please give her faith. And then I went to go to the next person. It's kind of the preacher's way of dodging the fact that they don't think anything's going to happen. Just get some people to pray for him. Because there's not really anything happening. We don't want it to distract from what's going on. I'm letting you into secrets now. I kind of went to walk away. And as I went to walk away, it was like something grabbed my leg. And the Lord said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to pray for this person. I said, no, ask her again. If she's got faith. So I said to her, do you believe? And she went, yes. Hold on a minute. You mean the prayer worked? I thought there was supposed to be a 6-month delay on everything you asked for. I mean, we don't mean it. Lord, bring the lost. And then 5,000 people run through the door going, what the flipping heck's going on here? Why is our meeting being messed around? We're not expecting it to happen. That's just what we do on a Friday night in a prayer meeting. It's not meant to. Do you hear what I'm saying? She got healed. She got healed. So the thing of it is this, the promise is an invitation to an experience. Hello? Amen. The promise is an invitation to an experience. So when it says, I've come that you may have life and life in all its fullness, that's not meant to be a, one day we'll have life in all its fullness, even though right now it's really crap. We believe that one day it will get better, and we're staggering to church every Sunday. We're surviving. Because one day God just might turn up. I write psalms as well. But actually, the way it's meant to be is actually things are moving us into experience. Amen? Beginning of 2010, I'd got to the point, Les knows about this, I'd got to the point where I was in so much pain because of an injury in my back that when I finished preaching on a Sunday, I walked like this because I was in so much pain. because of this vertebra at my back. And the Lord said to me through John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and life in all its fullness. Everything in your life that does not reflect fullness of life is subject to change. But you must demand it to shift. It can't be a distant wish and a hope. You have to forcefully advance it. Take a hold of it and grip it and go after it. Hello? You have to believe it's yours for you to take it. Amen? To cut a long story short, that year, my back got healed. I lost 4 stone in weight off the back of it. Not all in one go because my trousers would have fell off. But it went... It was a joke. You can laugh, smile, give me a golf clap, do something. So you see, we've got to get to this place where we actually believe the promises of God to such a degree. See, the level to which you believe something is yours will be reflected in the level to which you contend to get it. The level to which you believe something is yours will be reflected in the level to which you contend until you get it. I can tell what you believe you can have by what you're fighting to get. Amen. Hello?
Amen.
If I can put it this way to you, if I come over to you and try and take your trousers, you will fight to keep a hold of them. Unless you're strange, in which case we'll get you delivered at the end of the meeting. But generally, why would it be if I was to walk up to somebody right now and go to your pocket and take your mobile phone and say, thank you very much, I have that. What you'll do is you'll sit there and you'll think, yeah, it's just a preacher's illustration you'll give me back at the end. And the meeting finishes and you're like, he's going to give me it back at some point. I'll get it back. He's not giving me it back. Why has he took my phone? Who does this guy think he is? My blinking phone. I paid for that phone. And sooner or later, you wouldn't let me just walk out the door with your property, would you? Well, maybe you would. But generally speaking, if it's something you value, you're going to keep a hold of it. Would you agree with that? Yeah. My wife bought me some samurai swords for Christmas a year ago. Great. They arrived sharp. We thought there'd be ornaments. I cut a tree down in the garden. It was great. Like Last Samurai. It's like, woof! And the tree fell down. I thought, we need to lock the lounge at night. Otherwise, we'll come downstairs to Daniel and Samuel playing lightsabers with samurai swords, which isn't healthy. But the thing of it is this. If I'd have brought my samurai sword with me and said, just for illustration's sake, just come here for a second. Just help me. Just help me. Now, just for illustration's sake, we're just going to show you something about how sharp swords are. Just put your hand there, would you? And then I go and get the samurai sword and say, don't move, will you? How many of you would leave your hand there while I hacked it off? No, you wouldn't. Why? Because it's yours. Isn't it? We'll sit down. And you consider it to be totally unreasonable for somebody to come along to you and hack your hand off because it's your hand and you don't want them to have it. And yet, we effectively, when it comes to our inheritance in Christ, we yield up promises right, left, and center as though they're not really ours. But the promises of God are as much yours as the hand on the end of your arm. And the devil comes into your life and he hacks away your joy and he hacks away victories and he hacks away miracles and he hacks away the supernatural and he hacks away presence. And we just say, well, maybe God didn't want me to have it and just that person over there was meant to have 2 hands. Where's your leg? I just gave it up, didn't think God wanted me to have one. It's a right pain in the backside getting to church, but I think I'll manage. Hello? Listen, the supernatural, every single promise of God should be yours manifestly in your life. The devil comes along and says, you don't really think you're meant to have fullness of life, do you? Not you. I mean, you're not intelligent enough to have 2 hands. Give one up. God doesn't love you that much. Listen, the promises of God are not given on the basis of your intellect, your experience, or your birth, genealogy, or any of that. It's given to you because of what Jesus did, and it is an absolute offense to Christ when the church resigns itself to live outside of the inheritance that he died to give us. So we need to get off of our blessed assurance and we need to rise up and say, I want back everything that has been stolen from me. I'm going to take my joy. I'm going to take my victory. Well, of course, God wants us to have glory inside the church, but not in London. We'll let the devil have that out there. Just, you're not going to give me a hand. Can I have a finger? Now, can I just, no, I mean literally, can I pull that off? You don't need it, do you? Make it a bit more difficult when you're picking your nose, but you don't really need that. You do need it. How about just the end? You want the end as well? Well, can I just have a little bit? How about if I punch you in the shoulder and you'll be distracted and I'll pinch you? See, you see, the thing of it is you know, it's blinking my hand. Get off! How much identity have you got with the promises of God? How much has it possessed you? How much have you actually taken? Actually, I'm meant to be living in fullness of joy. Actually, when Jesus said, you should do the same things as I've done and even greater things, it wasn't a verse for you to say when you're feeling depressed. I'm not feeling very happy today, Lord. Let me get out my list of verses that make me feel better for a while. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I've been led in triumphal procession, feeling a bit happier now. Now I can survive until the next time I get slapped. It's not to tide you over. It's meant to be things that are physically manifest in your life. And if you die without them, you have been robbed. Did any of you ever see the TV program Bullseye? You see it? You know at the end, there's a thing you get the throw the arrow, the darts, and you have to get so many points to win the prize. And at the end of the game show, there'd be a big curtain across the back. And if they didn't win, the host of the thing would say, this is what you could have had. And he comes along and he pulls the curtain back and there's this massive yacht and you see this guy going, one dot, just one dot, and I could have had the boat. I don't want to get to heaven and have the Lord pull back the veil of his promises and say, this is what you could have had. Because you didn't believe it could be yours, you lived outside of the fullness of what Jesus paid for you. It is a sin and an offense to God for the church to be powerless. If a baby is born with four fingers, it is deemed to be deformed. If your life is barren of the miraculous, it is not for you to just resign yourself to that's just your lot in life. You must rise up with tenacity. I said, you must rise up. I said, you must rise. Amen. You must. It is no good sitting around waiting for some prophet or evangelist to lay hands on you, to give to you what is already yours by the blood of Jesus. You must rise and you must take it and you must declare and you must possess and you must fast and you must pray. I don't go down the gym and find a row of people standing behind the bodybuilder saying to him, please put down the heavy weights and lay hands on me because I'd like muscles like yours. It doesn't work that way. You've got to pick the weight up and you've got to do the work. But we're all flocking from one meeting to another meeting. Maybe if Billy Graham prays for me, I'll get what's mine. Maybe if Bill Johnson prays for me, I'll get what's mine. None of them can pray for you to get what is already yours. You must rise up and possess it and take a hold of it and stop waiting for it. Amen. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. God wants you to stir in such a way. You go home tonight, pull up outside your house. There's a van parked outside your house. Your flat screen TV's been loaded into the back of the van. Your favourite china is being loaded into the back of the van. Your grandma, she's going in the back. Your mother-in-law, don't say good. And all of you, whatever it is that you say, hurrah, whatever it is that you value the most is all being loaded into the back of the van, and there the workers are, and you say, what are you doing? I say, we're just taking your stuff. What? We're taking your stuff. Right. You stand there and you look at them loading it all in the van, and you, phew. I don't know how I'm happy about that. Probably ticks me off a bit, actually. I might give a slightly more zealous nod of the head. And you walk into your front door, and you go into the back of the house, and at the back of the house, there's somebody with a garbage truck, and they're loading garbage into the house. Your stuff's been taken out the front, and garbage is being put in the back. And you stood there saying, what are you doing? That's not my garbage. Yeah, I know, but you'll be better with this than you are with that. Because it will teach you humility and endurance. And you just stand there and you think, well, all my stuff's been taken out the front of the house and all the garbage is being piled in the back. Not one person in this room would tolerate it. Not one. You would actually, you can't do that. Do you know what the first thing you'd do? You'd try and stop me. If you didn't get that, what you'd do is you'd pick up the phone and you'd be on the phone and say, hello, is this the police? Yes, there's somebody loading all my stuff out of my house into the back of a van, and there's somebody in the back garden and they're piling rubbish into my house right now. Are you going to do it? According to the law, you need to do something about this right now. And if the police didn't turn up, you would be jolly well ticked off, and you would do everything within your power to make sure that what was right was done. How many of you would agree with that? Yep. So why don't you apply that same level of tenacity with your spiritual life? Why are you allowing the devil to steal the inheritance that Jesus died for out the front door and pile rubbish into the back door, and you're just standing there saying, well, this must be God's will? It operates on a personal level, it operates on a family level, it operates on a national level. We are here to bring heaven on earth, and everything in this planet that does not reflect heaven is subject to change, and you are the one with the authority to bring the shift, but you must first come to that place where you so possess the inheritance that indignation comes up inside of you whenever you see anything that contradicts it. The church militant? Or is it the church complacent? Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? So you would not allow, if I made an altar call and I got a pair of pliers and said, we're going to cut everybody's little finger off today, you would not come and join the altar, would you? Just lay your fingers on the floor. You would not do it. Because you see, in God's design of a human being, he has established a particular pattern, and it looks like this. This is a particularly good specimen. Why are you laughing? But the point is this. We know what a human being is meant to look like. And when it doesn't look like it, we do everything within our power to get it to look like it. Amen?
Amen.
Do you agree? Right. Well, the pattern for your life is Jesus. I said the pattern for your life is Jesus. We, in the same way, we ferociously protect what this looks like, we need to ferociously protect what that looks like. But you will only guard what you really believe is yours. Hello? If the devil can manage to manipulate you into believing that everybody else is meant to look like that, but not you, you will camp outside of the fullness that Jesus has provided. Hello? Amen. But you see, when there's a battle, when something's not right, if somebody's trying to cut your finger off, you enter into battle to keep what is yours, don't you? Hello? And we need to do the same with our inheritance in Christ. Amen? I want you to turn to 1 Kings 18. Just do something for me. Just look at your hand. Do you need all of it? Are you prepared to give any of it up? Well, don't do that with your spiritual life either. So decide right now. Let's just stand up for a minute before we go anywhere else. Now, this is not the preacher's game. This is heaven's appeal to his church right now. Heaven's appeal. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine how, if I was to go home tomorrow after ministering in London tomorrow, if I was to go home and find my children in the back garden, naked, starving in the back garden, and I walked up to them and said, "What on earth are you?" And they're shivering. And I said, "What are you doing?" And say, "Well, we don't believe we can come in the house." I'd be angry. I'd be frustrated. And if I stood there and if they were so deceived, I mean, obviously the illustration falls apart because it couldn't happen, but if they got so deceived that they actually froze to death in the garden and starved to death in the garden when there's a perfectly good house provided for them, what a travesty that is. And yet there are Christians all over England and all over the world that are effectively naked in the garden and powerless, believing that that is God's inheritance for their life. Let me ask you a question. It is not God's responsibility to give it to you because he's already done it. You see, we so often we defer responsibility to well, when I have an encounter with Jesus, then I'll step into these things. Listen, they're already yours. They're already yours. It's a heinous sin for us to possibly even entertain the thought that we should be living a life that is in any way slightly short of the life of Jesus. In actual fact, Jesus is not even the benchmark. Jesus is the starting point. My intention for my children is not for them to have what I have. My intention for my children is that for them to advance beyond what I have. Yeah. The nature of inheritance is it's a deposit for you to progress further. That's why Jesus said, "You'll do the same things I've done and even greater things because I go to the Father." See, your inheritance is not your destination. Your inheritance is the launch pad into things the earth hasn't even seen yet. There are miracles that the earth has not seen yet. There are manifestations of power that are not even in the Bible. It's the starting point. There are things that God wants to do, but he cannot do because the body, his people, are not making a demand on him. They're looking behind them as though what's behind them is the destination. That was just the start. We need to repent. I want you to say to Jesus, "Forgive me for surrendering my spiritual fingers and toes right now." Forgive me for believing a lie. Lord Jesus, tonight we possess by faith what you paid for through your blood.
Amen.
And I declare every lie of the devil broken in Jesus' name. Just put your hand on your heart. Jesus, I pray right now that in every heart there would be such a violence come forth. Such a righteous indignation come forth. That we will begin to pursue you with aggression, with fervency, with determination. That we will decide that we are not prepared to give up one finger or one toe in Jesus' name. In one Jesus' name. Okay, you can go ahead and sit down for a minute. I have no idea how many times I've preached from 1 Kings 18. I've probably preached it backwards, upside down, round and round, Greeked it to death, Hebrewed it back to life again. And yet, I found the Lord, as I was waiting on Him, I found the Lord bring something out and highlight something to me that was fresh for me. We're going to go, we know, I trust most of you know the story that Elijah confronts the Israelites and says to them, decide this day who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve God, then serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, then serve Baal. But don't sway between two opinions. You see, God is looking for a people who are living without options. I do karate. Because I'm a fighter. And there's a guy in the country who's only got one arm. But nobody wants to go near the arm. Because if he plonks one on you, you're in a lot of trouble. Why is his arm so strong? Because he's living without options. He can't hit you with the other one. It isn't there. Bill Johnson shares a story about an athlete who was caught in a car accident. And he lost one arm in a car accident. And he wanted to carry on doing a sport, and he got into handball, which is a bit like squash, but you use your hand. And he became the regional champion with one arm. And the interviewer said to him, and I believe he got to national level and even above. The interviewer said to him, "Why is it that a one-handed man can beat all these other people with two hands? How can that be?" And the guy's response was this: "Oh, it's quite simple. Options." You see, God wants us to live without options. There's not a plan B. Do you hear what I'm saying? Living, you need to decide that living a life that is not reflecting fullness of Christ is not an option, and you are not prepared to accept it. There has to be a tenacity that comes up inside of you. The passivity that gets in there has to be broken off. Do you hear me?
Amen.
We have to get to that place where we say, I've only got one option. I've only got one hand here. I've not got this, and if this doesn't work, I'll settle for something inferior. But actually, what Jesus revealed is what I'm going to have, and I'm going to pursue it until I have it manifest in my life. I'm not pursuing it to get it, but I'm pursuing it because I have it. I'm bringing it forth. Are you understanding me?
Amen.
Hello? If I was to say to you today that in this room, hidden in this room, there's £1 million, and I could convince you sufficiently that you knew without a shadow of a doubt that what I was telling you was true, and if I said to you, you can do whatever you want, there's not going to be any problem to what you do to the property, if you find £1 million, it's yours. The person who would find it would be the tenacious one, wouldn't they? It wouldn't be the person who did this. It's not here. and give up because it doesn't turn up in the first place. But the person who would actually get the money would be the one who entered into tenacity and began to rip the stuff off the walls and begin to dismantle things and begin to search it out until they possess it. You hearing what I'm saying? And God requires that of us. There's something that takes place in us in the pursuit that develops a character that enables us to carry what we possess.